Well, it's really good to see you. Really good. It's really good to be home. I missed you. Okay, to tell the truth, that first week I was gone, I didn't miss you. Because we spent the week on vacation. Chris and Caroline and I went to Crested Butte, and that was fantastic. Then we spent a few days hitting the national parks in Utah, which is dramatic and gorgeous. And then we went to Salt Lake City, and Chris and Caroline stayed for a couple of days to get to that first big Eucharist, which is huge and amazing and wonderful. And then they flew home. I started missing you right about then, right about when Chris and Caroline went home. And I also missed you because so much was going on in our culture and here pastorally in our congregation and at General Convention. I found myself in that Pauline dilemma of wanting to be in two places at the same time, wanting desperately to be here with you and to think and to pray and to talk about things, but also wanting to be at General Convention because it really is amazing. So for those of you who don't know how this works, General Convention meets every 3 years, and it's Episcopalians from every diocese, 109 dioceses across the country were there, and not just the country, but, you know, there are 9 other countries that are part of the American Episcopal Church, and so people from literally big chunks of the world were there, and we met for 10 days in legislative conversation. It's structured very much like our federal government with the two houses, and it's very formal, and it follows Robert's Rules of the Order. It follows Robert's Rules extensively, shall we say. And it's very formal, and, you know, there were 330 different pieces of legislation that we dealt with at General Convention. Now, obviously, that's not enough time to deal with that much legislation. So there are legislative committees, 19 of those, and I was on the committee that had to do everything with ordination process or Christian formation. So every time we got a resolution about Sunday school, Christian formation, education, I just channeled Lisa. I thought, what would Lisa St. Romain do? And that's what I did. That's how I did it. So it's really amazing. So it jams in the whole day, and everything goes on the consent agenda except for things that are pulled off. And that's how it's decided what we will debate on the floor of the House. So it's huge, and it's 15-hour days, and it's really fun, and you see great friends from all over the world. So 330 different pieces of legislation. Only one of them caught the attention of the news. Of course. That's the way it works, of course. And I think it's because It's because of the proximity of the Supreme Court's ruling on same-sex marriage and the Episcopal Church's decision to give permission to dioceses under bishop's authority to use these rites in church. And so those two things hitting at the same time, obviously, made for big news. So my hunch is, I spent the last 2 days driving home by myself and driving from Salt Lake City to here. So that was a great time to sort of let my brain defrag a little bit, you know, from all the different things, conversations and things that we've been dealing with. And it made me think, as I was thinking driving home, there are going to be 3 different sermons preached around the country today in Episcopal churches. One sermon is going to be a sermon of celebration. A celebration of everything that happened at General Convention, from the election of Michael Curry as the new presiding bishop, which felt everything like the movement of the Holy Spirit. I mean, overwhelming first ballot. He is a remarkable man of God, and I am very excited that he's our PB. All the way to all the different legislation that we passed, in particular about the ability now for Episcopal priests to preside at weddings of gay and lesbian people. They will be happy. They're going back to maybe like-minded churches that will say that for 40 years we have been striving for this. And finally, gay and lesbian people will be recognized as children of God and be welcomed into the life of the church. That will be one sermon, and those churches will be happy. Another sermon that will be preached will be a sermon that is very concerned about that particular decision of General Convention. They will be concerned that what we have done is stepped away from the received tradition of the Christian faith, stepped away from our received understanding of what is right and good and moral, and there will be concern about that. And so that sermon will be about that. There will be scripture taught. There will be theological ideas carried on. There will be tradition that is recounted, and there will be concerned And they will be preaching about what is the faithful, prayerful response now. There will be a third sermon as well. And that is for the mission-minded people in the Episcopal Church. The ones who are a little frustrated because they are concerned that this whole thing is going to knock us off track and distract us from the primary purpose of the church, which is to draw people into loving relationships with God, to bring them into the love of Christ, and to put them to work for the kingdom. And you know, generally, I'm wired that way. That's generally how I think about things, is generally how I preach. And it was, as I was driving, I thought, I'm not going back to one of those churches. I'm not going back to a church of like-minded individuals. See, he agrees with me. I'm not going back to a church of like-minded individuals. Every one of those congregations is sitting in this room right now. Right this minute, in this room, among this group of people that you know and you love and that I know and love, we are friends. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and there are those of you who are thrilled about the decision, both for the Supreme Court and of the Episcopal Church, and you think it is about time, and now people that you know in your life will be able to enter into a loving, lifelong commitment with the blessing of God and the church, and you're excited, and we recognize you, and we are thrilled that you are here. There are also those of you who are very concerned about this, who feel like the church has moved away from the received tradition and that we are in a dangerous place. And we recognize you, and we are thrilled that you are here. And there are those of you who are just irritated about the whole thing because you just want to keep doing the work that you feel like God's given you to do. You don't want this to distract us from our Christian formation and from our outreach ministries and from good worship and from building the community that we're in. And we recognize you, and we are thrilled that you are here. And then I have to give a little nod. There's another group of people here in this room that are this group. La, 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 la. I just don't want to hear any of this. I just want to come to church, say my prayers, leave me alone. We're glad you're here too. We love you. And we're glad. I'm excited that I serve a church like this. I'm happy that I'm not going back to a congregation of like-minded individuals, because this church looks like the kingdom of God. This church looks like the world that we live in. It looks like the culture that we're in. It looks like the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of God if there are huge portions of the culture that are not here, because the kingdom of God is all of us together. And I am proud that I serve a church that's like that. It makes church complicated, though. It makes it complicated because we have to listen to each other, and we have to think about what we think, and we have to go past our first reaction into our second and our third, and we have to get thoughtful, and we have to really study Scripture and see what it really says about things that matter. And it's harder work, but it also offers this incredible blessing of community that we enjoy here at St. Paul's. So let me tell you at least what I know is coming next about how the church is going to deal with this. In our diocese, as you know, the decision was made that it's under the authority of a diocesan bishop. And so Andy, our bishop, who is very good at articulating his position on these things and leading us and telling us how he wants things to do, is on vacation right now, and he deserves to be on vacation. I watched this man work, I worked hard, he worked harder. I don't know how he does. I'm convinced that he has one of those time-turner things from Harry Potter, you know, where you can be in two places at one time. He knows how to do that. So he's on a well-deserved vacation. He's going to rest, he's going to pray, he's going to think. And then he has called a gathering of all the clergy of the diocese in the middle of August. And so we will all go to Camp Allen, and we will sit with the bishop, and we will study, and we will pray, because our diocese looks like our parish, and the clergy of our diocese look like our parish. And so the bishop will lead us as we navigate this conversation. And then he will tell us what his expectations are of us as his clergy, and he will give us his marching orders. And then once I know what those marching orders are, Stephen and Sharon and I will come home, and then we will get in conversation with each other, and we'll get in conversation with the vestry, and then we'll get in a conversation with you. about all this and about what does it mean and where are we going. So that's what I know is coming in the short term next for us. So in the meantime, I have some expectations of you, two in particular. My first expectation of you as a thoughtful Christian is that you will be a person of prayer about all of this, that you will enter into prayer about the decisions of our cultures, the decisions of our church, and honestly, I would love for you to go into prayer about the 329 other things we talked about at General Convention, because we did some amazing work. Amazing things are happening in the Episcopal Church. It is incredible, the evangelism efforts. The number of new churches that have been planted in the Episcopal Church in the last 3 years are triple what they were 3 years before. It is amazing what's happening. The kind of outreach ministry, the kind of service, the kind of love is incredible. So I'd love for you to be prayerful about all of that. Right? And during that time, if you want me to come talk to you, I am happy to do it. You want to come have coffee with me? I'll make as many coffee appointments as are in a day to do it. You want me to come to your Bible study or a book group or your EFM group or whatever you're doing and have a conversation, just call the meeting and I'll try to come. So I expect you to be prayerful about this. And I also expect you to behave like Christians. I expect you to remember that there is a member of every one of those congregations that I talked about in this building, in this room. I expect you to filter what comes out of your mouth based on the fact that there are people here that disagree with you, but that love you and that you love. And because that's true, I think an exercise that might be good is for you to get curious, for all of us to get curious. If you're in a conversation with someone who has a different opinion than you do, instead of fine-tuning your own opinion and waiting for them to shut up so that you can talk some more, get curious. Because most of the people you talk to, most of them, are smart and thoughtful, and they didn't come to their opinion capriciously. So ask them. Ask them what they believe. Ask them why they believe that. Ask them what informs that understanding. And you will grow in your knowledge and love of the Lord. That will keep us on the same track, the main track, which is to draw the world to God and not to allow anything to distract us from that primary work, which is to draw people into a loving, transformative relationship with Jesus Christ. And to quote our new presiding bishop, to walk into the nightmares of people's lives and offer them the dream of the gospel. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.